Hi, this is Kelly. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project. Hey guys, today we're going to jump in the Gospel of John together again. You know what's funny about these? We've all got our kind of favorite podcasts that we do and favorite series that we do, but I got to just be honest with you guys. My favorite podcast that we do all week long, this is just the John series. I like sitting around.
I get that.
Yeah. Working out the scripture with some bros over some coffee. Like this is what we do, right? This is the good stuff.
This is what life is about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also, on a total like logistical note, I also love that we always know what's coming next. We know exactly where we're supposed to be. We know the next episode. We know we can study ahead of time. It's great.
You can't get lost.
Yeah. It's just verse by verse through John.
It's true.
That's an amazing observation. So who do we got in the studio today? Who's on my right over here?
Zach, I'm here. And this is great. I also didn't, until we talked a little bit before the show, but I didn't realize that we are having a Bible study, going out for a Bible study. And that was just an epiphany I had. I'm like, we are having a Bible study right now. This is really cool.
Yeah. This is for us first.
Yeah.
Exactly. We are going to have a Bible study.
Didn't even put that together.
Yeah. Football season started and you are rocking your colors today.
Yeah. That's right. Right down to the bracelet.
Yep. I'm a big Packers fan. So go Green Bay this year. Hopefully they smoke the Seahawks as always.
Oh, brother. Good to have you in the studio. Yeah.
Well, it's been a good show. We're just going to mute Zach from here on out.
That was fun. Thanks for joining, Zach. You may exit.
Please. I'm surprised you guys didn't even point out the face paint he has on right now. But
yeah, the cheese head that you're wearing. It's strange. Packers fans are strange.
And that voice you heard chime in is my friend.
Holy guacamole. It's me, Sam.
That's the best intro we've ever had. Yeah. That's it. You just figured out your intro.
I'm back, Zach. I forgot.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome. Thank you for the greeting.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Yeah.
Hello there. This is Pastor Cameron. Excited to be in the Word.
Awesome. So again, John, we are in chapter 16 today, and we'll be picking up in verse 16, and we will be continuing with our SOAP method, which means scripture, observation, application, and then prayer. So we will start with scripture, and then we will observe the scripture together as bros in the studio having a Bible study. Verse 16, in a little while, you will no longer see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me. Then some of the disciples said to one another, what is this he is telling us? In a little while, you will not see me again. In a little while, you will see me because I am going to the Father. They said, what is it that he is saying in a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him. And so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said in a little while? You will see me and again. In a little while, you will not see me. Again, we're still in the red letters here. Verse 20. Truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you. In that day, you will not ask me anything. Truly, I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete.
Mm-hmm. This is echoing a conversation that he has earlier. Sam pointed that out when we were sitting or starting this Bible study earlier, that it felt like we've almost already done this one because he's repeating some things, but that is very much the nature of Jesus. And that kind of sets the scene of he's constantly affirming and encouraging his disciples, even as he heads to his end.
Mm. Yeah. It seems like he wants to get the point across in a little while. You won't see me anymore. You guys hear me. You won't see me anymore, but in a little while after that, you will see me.
What is this in a little while?
How long does that last?
Oh, man.
I picture this moment where Jesus talks and the disciples, like, have you ever been in those moments where, like, everyone's talking and then, like, all of a sudden it's, like, quiet and you're, like, not in on it? You're kind of like, what's up? What's going on? You know what I mean? And Jesus was a part of that moment, but he knew what was up because he's like, oh, they probably don't understand what I'm saying. And I love how it's like, this is such a direct question. Are you talking about, do you need some clarification on me going away and then I will see you again? In a little while. I just love how it gets to the heart of it. You know what I mean? But yeah. I just see that awkwardness of, like, disciples being like,
yeah. You ask him.
What was that, Peter? Huh? You want to say that to my face?
Use your words, Pete.
But yeah, that's something I just noticed. That's just visualizing that is funny for me.
Yeah. I think it's important to know about this scripture that this is not some magical formula that you would say that in the name of the Son that you get whatever you want and then God just gives you that. What I think that this is it's tied to the work of the Son through the will of the Father. So what you need, what you ask of the Son, he is more than happy to give you what you need in this ministry. Again, he's talking to the disciples. These are the guys that are going to go out and start the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when he's saying this to them, he's basically telling them, you know, ask it in my name. In the will of the Father, it will be given to you. You know, how many times do we see him say in John that he is doing the will of the Father and the Father is speaking through him?
Right.
So that we kind of see this same thing here. You ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you.
Yeah. On that note, I thought it was interesting that until now you have not asked for anything in my name.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because up until this point, there was no in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
You know, that just wasn't a thing. And now that is so much of who we are that we ask in Jesus' name, we pray in Jesus' name. But to think there was a time where the people right around Jesus weren't even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that what is about to happen had to happen in order for that to take place. But a few other things that jump out to me is in a little while, that whole back and forth, the kind of who's on first sort of thing going on. And that is very much a conversation I've had with my daughters. Ezra specifically, is she'll ask for something and I'll be like, oh yeah, we can have a snack in a little while. And then I can see her get frustrated. And then she'll come back like, you always say in a little while. What do you mean? When in a little while? That ability to like process time. And what does that mean in a little while? Or I'll say later. And she'll be like, what does that mean later? Does that mean like in 2 minutes? Does that mean in 10 days? Does that mean in a week? And that ambiguity can bring some frustration because what does that mean in a little while? And that Sam, you mentioned Jesus just speaks right to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily give a specific, like in 20 minutes I will, but he sees the frustrate or the confusion and he speaks right to it. But the other thing that I think is just this whole picture of what he's painting here is that there is joy on the other side of this grief that you're going to experience. And that is something that is going to be repeating for the rest of the life of the church. There will be valleys, and in seasons, those valleys will just be deeper than any valley you've ever been in. But that means the mountaintop is higher than any mountaintop you've ever climbed. So this is a pattern of something that he is teaching the church, that he is teaching his disciples, that be strong in the dark moments, because it's on the other side of the dark moments that you find joy. I think that's super important for us as a church today to not spiral into just the darkness, but to know that there is joy. And it says your joy will be complete on the other side.
I really like that you just brought that up because keep in mind, he is specifically speaking to the disciples here. They're going to watch their guy die.
Yeah.
Like they're going to watch the guy that they've followed for years go be crucified and that will turn to sorrow. I mean, look at verse 20, he says in the middle of verse 20, you will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And I like when you compare that to the whole attitude in the epistles when Paul talks about this. You don't see sorrow in his definition of the cross at all. You just see redemption. You see nothing but this is what I will talk about. So I'm just going to give you some examples of some of the ways that Paul talks about the crucifixion. So in 1 Corinthians 1:22, for example, for the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So you see the whole attitude behind the crucifixion that he would say is first a stumbling block to everyone. So they have to actually make peace with this somehow. They have to either deny it or embrace it, right? And then if you go down into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I love this. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's whole tone is much different in this because this is past the cross. So he's saying, I will know nothing except Christ crucified. And I don't know how many preachers I listen to that talk about this whole thing. How do you get back to the cross? Whenever you preach, whenever you share the gospel, always get back to the cross. This is biblical. That is a biblical concept. When you look at the way Paul talks about the cross, he doesn't speak about it in sorrow at all. He speaks about it in triumph. And he says, everything I say is going to be wrapped around the concept of Christ crucified.
Some comedian somewhere says, all these churches have crosses everywhere. Don't you think when Jesus comes back, he's going to be like have some PTSD from seeing the cross everywhere? But that's the reality of what we are actually now celebrating. I mean, the birth of the church came from betrayal and death.
That was the
origin of the church, that Jesus died so that the church could be birthed. So as believers, we shouldn't be surprised that our freedom and our joy is on the other side of some cross, really hard things, starting with the cross.
That's actually an interesting way to look at that too. I've always kind of thought about that. Like, you know, why don't we just hang gas chambers on the church wall? Like,
I have never thought about that actually. Like,
it's kind of morbid if you think about it. But like
a guillotine or, you know, but.
I mean, if you think about it like that, it's kind of horrifying to look at it like that. But when you see that Paul actually says, that's what we preach.
He is walking in the joy that's on the other side. These disciples, they're not going to experience that for a little bit. They're going to only see the cross as the thing that killed their savior, killed their leader, their Lord, until he returns.
But don't you guys worry. We're going to get to the end of John and you'll see the whole thing play out.
I think verse 20 just is so full of hope. And it's just like kind of what Paul looks at it through a lens of like, this is joy and exciting. Like this needed to happen so we could come to this place. And I think in verse 20, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. There's just so much like, going through the valleys and the mountaintops, like you're going to go through a valley, but then there's going to be that mountaintop where you're like, yes, there's that joy, that excitement. Like I see what the Lord is doing and working in this. I see his overall big picture instead of just being in this moment where the disciples are like, all I know right now is what you're telling me, but we can read it. And it's like a bigger picture of like, oh, there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of like joy that's going to come out of this season or whatever. So
well, and the way that he relates it to labor pains too really gives a good way to look at that. I mean, a woman goes through labor, it's not fun. I mean,
listener, you don't need four dudes to tell you about.
You know,
there's other people you can talk to, or you have personal experience. We know nothing, but
the idea of
the beautiful
joy at the beginning of the birth of the child, this child being the church. That's what he's talking about.
He
birthed the church. I just think that's amazing.
The whole idea of the body's ability to forget pain. Like, Chong, you have tattoos. When you were getting them, you remember that they hurt.
Yeah.
But you don't have a like physical memory of what that pain necessarily feels like. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't go get another one because it hurts. Same with childbirth is if the joy on the other side wasn't worth it and our body remembered just the pain, there we wouldn't have populated the earth. But so as believers, we need to have the ability to forget the pain and replace it with the joy of Jesus. Otherwise, we get stuck in the pain. And these disciples had to do this. They had to reconcile this. There was probably a journey of, man, I can't go back into town and walk that street that Jesus walked on the way to the cross. Like they probably had to unpack some things and surrender some things ongoingly because Like, how do you walk the streets that Jesus carried his cross after you watched him die? Even after you watched him resurrected, you know, come back, that still would be a struggle. So there's this ongoing thing the church has to do, not to just ignore the things behind us, to be really real about the things behind us, the pains behind us, but to fix our eyes on the joys that are ahead of us in order to keep moving forward the way Jesus is calling us to.
That's good. That's good.
Yep.
You guys have already hit it on the head. Honestly, I find myself in the other part of this scripture. I say this every time. I'm like, I just want to read all of it. I just want to read all of it. But I find myself in the verse 25 through the rest of the chapter.
Oh, getting ahead.
Yeah. So I won't say anything.
Spoilers. If you have never read John,
but yeah, I'll read verse 25 at least.
Do it.
Okay. But he says, I've spoken of these matters in figurative speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and tell you plainly all about the Father.
Oh yeah.
And he goes into just admitting that because you love me, the Father loves you. Mm-hmm. And I just think, oh man, it just wraps all what he just said up really well. So I'll save it.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, we will get more into that one next week. But the next segment, again, yeah, next week.
I know, right? It's like, I'm yeah.
The next segment really does kind of show us that we're not promised to not go through hard times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's saying you will have joy at the other side of the cross.
Yeah.
But he's not saying that it's going to all be rainbows and sunshine.
Right.
He's in fact saying, you will have suffering in this world. I'm literally quoting verse 33. Right, right, right. You will have suffering in this world. And I think one of the dangers of a lot of thinking in the Christian world right now is this idea that God will save us from tribulation. Mm. And I think that's a scary mentality.
Right.
When you look at actually the context of the Bible, God does not say that he's going to save us from trouble. He says that he is with us in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Because what is the call here? Be courageous. I have conquered the world.
Yeah.
So in light of the conquering of the world that he talks about, he says he is with you in your suffering.
But what a cool, like, cheat code. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What a cool, like, sneak peek. It's like you're at the end of a Marvel movie and, like, you stay at the end of the credits.
You get the stinger.
And then it says, you will see Captain America again in the next movie or whatever it might say, or it's some cool cutscene. It's just like, there's this, it's like hard, but there's hope. And it's not hope that's like far away. It's in a little while, and it's not you alone in it, but in something together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that Jesus knew this so well. And that's why he says it directly and says it multiple times because of the importance of what he was trying to say to them. And for them to not get caught up in what you were saying just now, but to be like, I'm with you in it, you know? And that's what happens in 25 and on. He talks about him being in it with you and the Father.
Well, especially at the beginning of chapter 16, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Spirit of truth.
Being with you. Mm-hmm. Like, he even kind of compares the Holy Spirit, like, coming together with, like, in it's hard to explain the Trinity, like, with. Right. But he talks about he will be with you in it. And that is, I think, the thing that we can take away from the troubling parts that come in our lives is that no matter what, the Spirit of God is with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah. I think to get as practical as we could get with other believers, that I can't imagine doing this on my own. I can't imagine trying to hold on to hope on my own and just trusting in the dark nights that it's going to get better. You know, I can't imagine just being like, well, Jesus is gone and now I'm all alone and I'm supposed to just hope and believe that he's going to be back, or that even after he ascends to heaven, that there's still like, what do I even do? How do I even live alone? That would be really difficult. So I think to go beyond just some of the things we've already talked about is, I just want to encourage listener to get with people. Don't try to hold on to hope on your own. You got other people that would love to encourage and inspire you to hold on through those dark nights, those dark moments, because there is joy on the other side.
Yeah, I like that. I want to leave you with this. As we continue on with our Bible study right now, I kind of want to go back and look at some more of the words of Paul. we have this hope in life. We have the hope of the cross, and we have the hope of Christ with us and the Spirit that lives in us, giving us that courage through trouble. You know, we have that joy now. When we look at the words of Paul, I want you to think about the way you speak about Christ in your life. Is it elegant? Does it matter if it's elegant? What are you trying to portray in the conversations you have with your friends and family about Christ when you're speaking? And here's what Paul says, and I just want to read this section to you, and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come to you with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. My speech, my preaching were not with the persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, so that your faith may not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. That's something that we can pull out from this today, is that we have God's power through the Spirit of God and through Christ crucified, because that's what we get to preach. And it doesn't need to be through elegance of word. It doesn't need to be in wisdom, because the wisdom that we have is based upon God's wisdom. And that is the wisdom that we seek in this life today. So let's pray together and close out. Lord, we preach you crucified. In the light of the cross, we look back and we see the brilliance of it, and we see the magnificence of it, and we just want to share that with others, God. So we ask, God, that when we share these things, that it would not be about brilliance of word, but it would be about a embracing of you and showing people the heart of you in this dark world and showing us the light of you. So God, we preach you crucified, and we love you, the crucified Savior. But it did not end with you crucified, Lord, because the joy is that you have been risen and that we live in that joy today. So we thank you above all, Lord, that it's in your name that we get to pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to follow and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.